Chapter 4. I knew of ships from paintings. I had heard of them in stories. They were golden and huge as leviathans, their rails carved from ivory and horn. They were towed by grinning dolphins, or else crewed by 50 black-haired nereids, faces silver as moonlight. This one had a mast thin as a sapling. Its sail hung skewed and fraying. Its sides were patched. I remember the jump in my throat when the sailor lifted his face. Burnt it was, and shiny with the sun. A mortal. Mankind was spreading across the world. Years had passed since my brother had first found that deserted land for our games. I stood behind a jut of cliff and watched as the man steered, skirting rocks and hauling at the nets. He looked nothing like the well-groomed nobles of Minos's court. His hair was long and black, draggled from wave spray. His clothes were worn, and his neck scabbed. Scars showed on his arms where fish scales had cut him. He did not move with the unearthly grace, but strongly, cleanly, like a well-built hull in the waves. I could hear my pulse loud in my ears. I thought again of those stories of nymphs ravished and abused by mortals. But this man's face was soft with youth, and the hands that drew up his catch looked only swift, not cruel. Anyway, in the sky above me was my father, called the watchman. If I was in danger, he would come. He was close to the shore by then, peering down into the water, packing some fish I could not see. I took a breath and stepped forward onto the beach. Hail, mortal. He fumbled his nets but did not drop them. Hail, he said. What goddess do I address? His voice was gentle in my ears, sweet as summer winds. Kirki, I said.